Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with "The glory of God shall return," as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn at this time to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, "It came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month." So that would be July the 5th. It would be probably the 30th year of Ezekiel's life, when he was 30 years old. "As he was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Ezekiel was taken to Babylon in the second captivity, at the time when Jehoiachin was also taken captive. There were three times that Nebuchadnezzar's armies came against Jerusalem, taking captives back to Babylon. Daniel went back in the first captivity. Ezekiel went in the second captivity. Now, basically, Ezekiel was prophesying to the captives, and when he began his prophecy, Jerusalem was still standing. Now, there were false prophets in Babylon that were telling the people, "Look, don't settle down. Don't get a house. God's going to soon defeat Babylon, and we're going to go back right away. So hang loose, because we're only going to be here a little while. The Lord is going to deliver his people, and we're going to return from Babylon very shortly. So just don't settle down." Now, Jeremiah had been writing to them, saying, "Don't listen to the prophets or so-called prophets who are telling you not to settle down, but instead, settle down. Get adjusted, because you're going to be there for 70 years. Most of you are going to die in Babylon. So you might as well get used to that fact and just settle down, make the best of the situation." And so there were two schools of prophets, the true prophets, the false prophets. But Ezekiel, the true prophet of God, was declaring to them the same thing that Jeremiah was saying, that Jerusalem is not going to be restored immediately, but that Jerusalem is going to be completely destroyed by Babylon. The people are going to be destroyed and scattered. And he is telling the people in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah is writing from Jerusalem, but Ezekiel is there among them saying, "Now look, listen to the word of the Lord. Just go ahead and settle down here and just settle in, because it's going to be a long time that you'll be in captivity." So at the beginning of Ezekiel's prophecies, he began his prophecy before Jerusalem was destroyed in 596. So in the beginning of his prophecies, he is predicting the destruction of Jerusalem. As he moves further into his prophecy, as time goes on and the prophecy is fulfilled and Jerusalem is destroyed, then there is a change. And now he is encouraging the people that God in his time is going to restore again the glory to Israel. Now, he saw the glory of God depart from Jerusalem through the east gate. But as the prophecies continue, and as the people are discouraged when they hear the news that Jerusalem has been devastated, destroyed, he then begins to encourage them. God is going to work yet again among his people. The glory of God shall return. The glory of God is going to fill the house, and the latter glory is going to be greater than the former glory. Israel has not yet seen its heyday, in a sense. It's not yet seen the peak. God is going to yet restore his glory and all upon Jerusalem and upon Israel. Hard times will intervene or be in the intermittent periods, yet God's work will yet be accomplished among his people. So Ezekiel's prophecies actually then go out beyond even our present day. Now, Ezekiel saw the restoration of the land. He saw the nation being reborn. He predicted the modern Zionist movement and the rebirth of the nation Israel. And he predicted that when Israel was born again as a nation, that Russia would come and invade Israel. And as we move on into the prophecy of Ezekiel, we get into all of these interesting, marvelous things, because we move actually from the present on into the future, and we see not only what is happening now, but Ezekiel continues to move on, and then he moves on even beyond that. And we see things that will be happening in Israel during the kingdom age and the glorious reign of Jesus Christ, as he comes again and enters in through the east gate of the city and establishes his kingdom here upon the earth. And so the prophecy of Ezekiel really begins from this point, when he was about 30 years old, when the word of the Lord first came to him, when he saw these visions of God. This is before the fall of Jerusalem, the complete destruction. And he describes here his vision of God. Now, Isaiah had a vision of God. Ezekiel had a vision of the throne of God. And John, in the New Testament, had a vision of the throne of God. And so from these insights of these three men, we gather our information concerning the throne of God, concerning the heavenly scene. Now, immediately there arises a difficulty, because we are talking now of heavenly things, but we are seeking to describe them in earthly language. Now, there is no doubt words that we do not yet know that aptly describe the things in heaven. But at the present time, they have to remain to us only as word pictures. So you take the language that is common to man, words that are common to man, and you use them to the best of your ability to express things that you've never seen before. Weird-looking creatures like you've never dreamed of. Intelligent beings. And you try to describe with human language what you are seeing. And immediately, you're limited by language. So it makes the defining of them or the relating of them difficult because of limitation of language. So we'll have to sort of try to envision those things which Ezekiel is talking about. You remember when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus and talking about the fact that a man has to be born again. And he was trying to explain to Nicodemus these concepts that were unfamiliar to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was asking these questions. Well, how can a man be born again when he's old? you know, can't return again to your mother's womb and be born. How can you do it? And Jesus said, look, if I have talked to you about earthly things and you can't understand them, how would you understand if I tried to talk to you about heavenly things? Now, the Bible says no man understands the things of God save the Spirit reveal them unto him. So in getting into these areas, we're talking now about things of God. We definitely need the help of the Holy Spirit in our understanding and comprehension of these things, that we might get somewhat of a glimpse or a grasp of them. Now, I am convinced that what they saw, we will be seeing when we enter into the heavenly scene. So it is well for you to acquaint yourself as best as possible with these things, though for right now they may seem to be difficult to really comprehend in your mind, yet one day when we actually see them and we put, you know, this side by side, we say, well, he didn't do too bad a job. Yeah, looks pretty much like that, you know. So this was the fifth year in which Jehoiachin had been brought as a captive unto Babylon. Zedekiah was presently the king in Judah, in Jerusalem. Jehoiachin had reigned only 3 months when Nebuchadnezzar came and took him captive along with his mother and his family and others of Judah. And the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Kebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Ezekiel uses this expression 7 times. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And this is the first of the 7 times that he uses it. We'll find it again in our study tonight in chapter 3, verses 14 and 22. And then we won't find it again until chapter 8. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Now, the north here would be actually the dwelling place of God. In Isaiah, in speaking of Satan's exalting of himself, he said, I will ascend into the sides of the north. It is thought that in relationship, of course, to the earth, that heavenly kingdom of God dwells somewhere in the area of the north. Recently, there was an interesting article in the paper of a vast empty space that has been found in the universe that is baffling to the scientist. And it is sort of upsetting certain theories that they have had in the past. It could really be very disturbing to the Big Bang theory, because supposedly the debris of the Big Bang was sort of distributed equally throughout the entire universe and doesn't really give place for vast areas of empty space. But yet there has been discovered recently this extremely vast area of empty space. And the area happens to be actually towards the North Star. And there is this vast area of emptiness in space, which at the present time is a real enigma to the astronomers that are studying it as they try to align this discovery with the current theories that exist of the origin of the universe. This whirlwind came out of the north. This would not be out of Babylon. He was in Babylon when he saw it. A great cloud and a fire that is enfolding itself. Now, have you ever seen fire that enfolds itself. It sort of rolls when there is an explosion of highly volatile materials. And as the fireball goes up, it enfolds itself. It rolls around and catches into itself as it goes up. It's quite a phenomena to observe. I was coming home from Los Angeles years ago when I was going to school up there and living in Santa Ana. And there was this, there used to be a lot of olive orchards over here in the area of La Mirada. And there was an olive oil factory there. And the thing had caught fire. As we were coming home, we came by. And of course, you know, you're always fascinated by fire. We got out to watch the fire. We were getting up sort of close, and suddenly the thing exploded. And we watched this ball of fire going up and the fire enfolding itself as it went up. This ball of fire is going up, but it keeps coming around and enfolding itself on into this ball. And it's a fascinating phenomena to behold. And as Ezekiel is seeing now, coming out of this area of the north, this great cloud. And it is interesting that the Bible speaks so often of God being covered with a cloud. The clouds of glory that surround God. There on the mount, when God came down and spoke with Moses, there was the cloud of God's glory that covered Mount Sinai. And the fire again, the fireballs that were emitting forth from it. The brightness was about it. There was a brightness about it. And out of the midst, or the middle thereof, was the color of amber that was coming out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the middle thereof, there came the likeness of four living creatures. So here in the middle of this glorious brightness, that's sort of a ball of fire and enfolding itself in the cloud, there in the midst of it was this beautiful amber color and also these four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They looked somewhat like a man, but every one of them had four faces. And every one of them had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So again, he's using human language to describe creatures like he had never seen before. And so we have to use our imaginations in trying to, in our minds, picture or visualize these four living creatures looking somewhat like a man, each one having four faces, each of them having four wings. Their feet are sort of like a calf's, sort of cloven like a calf's foot, but they look like bright burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. And they turned not when they went, but they went every one straight forward. So their movement was in straight line type of movement, rather than rounding, sort of straight type of movement of these creatures. Now, as we go on with the description of these four living creatures, we realize that these are parallel to the four living creatures that John saw when in the book of Revelation chapter 4, he also had a vision of the throne of God. And he saw these four living creatures with their four faces. And John also describes them in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel describes them again in chapter 10, when he sees them in chapter 10. And there he identifies to us what these living creatures are. And there we discover that these are cherubim, a created being of God, intelligent beings of God. beings that surround God. In Revelation, we are told that they cease not day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come." Now, this ties in then with God's directions to Moses in the building of the tabernacle, which the book of Hebrews tells us is a model of heaven. Now, most of you fellas have built at some time or other in your life a model of either a car or a plane. And you're not building a P-51, but you're building a model of the P-51. You can't get in and fly it, but when you build the model, it looks like, it resembles the real thing. A model is just a resemblance of the real thing. So the tabernacle was just a model of the real thing. The real thing is in heaven. The tabernacle was a model of heaven.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep His hand upon your life, and may He help you to walk in all righteousness and holiness, for He is Jehovah our God, and He is a holy God, and He wants His people to be a holy people, that the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed by my actions, but that people, in seeing my good work, will glorify our Father who is in heaven, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a timely book entitled Philippians, a Bible study for women by Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck. In times of hardship and doubt, are you filled with joy? If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. Join Kay as she discovers the Apostle Paul's top secrets to a life filled with joy, available to every Christian woman today.
Sometimes in the deepest trials, God will so minister to us, or the Holy Spirit will so minister to us, that even in the deepest trials, we can have joy. And that's what we're trying to impress on the people's heart. We have joy just because we have Jesus.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.
And godliness with contentment is great gain.